There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Media Podcast. I'm Matt Deegan. As is the tradition, our first episode of the year is our 9th annual prediction special. We've assembled the finest media commentators in the sector to divine what will happen this year. You'll hear from publishers, including The Mail and Deadline, TV indies and broadcasters. It's all you need to know to tackle the year ahead. That's all coming up in this special edition of the Media Podcast. Well, happy new year to all our listeners. Jake Cantor and Ella Segarra with me, party poppers in hand. Jake, we'll start with you. Your predictions from last year, for which I think you should be held accountable. It's only fair. Are you feeling confident?
I don't know is the answer. I mean, like, okay. I always approach this part of the pod with trepidation.
Well, number one, you said some Western media organizations are going to sever ties with TikTok, and also that 2023 will be a year dominated by AI's growing influence in the media.
Well, look, some major Western media organizations have certainly distanced themselves from TikTok. So the BBC banned it on work devices. Having said that, they have forged ties with TikTok in other areas. They've done this. They've done some sort of influencer scheme. So mixed messages from the BBC. And I think, am I right in saying that somewhere in Denmark, I think DR in Denmark cut ties with TikTok as well. I might need to double check that.
a Nordic TikTok issue, yeah. And then on the AI side, a lot of discussion and a lot of action on AI.
Absolutely. I think, you know, that was that was arguably a very safe prediction. You know, I think the most immediate example that springs to mind, and we've, you know, seen this play out in such a huge way during the US strikes, AI has been an absolutely vital battleground as part of those strikes. And we've now seen writers and actors secure new guardrails and protections in the AI space, because AI tools are being used increasingly to make films and television.
Right, we'll come back to you on your predictions in a sec. Ella, we're looking for two predictions from you. Maybe one that's a bit more of a safe bet first.
Safe bet. Yeah, I have a couple here. I don't know which to go for, but I think I'll go for that Google will delay cookie deprecation again.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
So give people a bit of an update on what that is.
It's whenever you're got online and it'll say, do you accept cookies which track your behaviour and that advertisers can use to target ads? And so what is happening now is Google has got a privacy sandbox. It's trying to, because of privacy concerns about if it can track you across, not just on that website, but across the internet, and what's happening there. And there's been lots of legislation and kind of debates going on in Europe, which is kind of seen as that leading area for data protection.
So you think they'll panic a bit and push it back?
I think, yeah. And I think actually on the tech side, it's proving a lot more difficult to find an alternative for advertisers.
And have you got a more ambitious gamble prediction?
I think Netflix will merge with a gaming company.
Oh, interesting.
That's my ambitious one, because they keep coming out with these different kind of gaming sort of propositions. And I think that would be really exciting, because the IPs could mesh quite well. could be another sort of, because they're using it as a revenue stream, it could be another way to boost their revenue if their advertising tier isn't working out, which it seems like it's got quite sort of not been going quite as well as they would like.
Well, they're in the sort of time business, aren't they, where people spend time, and so gaming wouldn't be a bad thing.
So that's
thing
my crazy
to jump
prediction
on. Okay, it's a good one. I like it. I like the confidence. Jake, have you got a safer prediction for 2024?
That's a fantastic prediction, I think, the gaming company one. I'm very envious of that. I could see it happening as well. Given we're recording this in the past and we've just been talking about strikes at the BBC, my safe prediction is that they're going to be more strikes at the BBC this year. We are seeing cuts in other areas. BBC is close to announcing a sweeping new set of cuts in the newsroom. New set of cuts, I should say. There are constant cuts in the newsroom.
Okay. Yes, interesting. Looking at union trouble, more strikes. And anything a bit out there that you think predictions-wise for 2024?
Either Talk TV will buy GB News or GB News will buy Talk TV. One of the two.
Battle of the right-wing broadcasters.
GB News is... it's in this very strange position where it's increasingly confident, looks like a genuine challenger to the BBC and Sky News, and yet is mired in all this investigation with Ofcom. So it's a bit of a strange place for GB News. But at the moment, you would have to back GB News because it has really established itself. And I think, you know, regardless of what you think of it and whether you agree with it, they have to have some credit for that, I think.
They've definitely been making an impact. Anyway, thanks to you both. We will hold you to account this time next year.
I look forward to it.
Hello, I'm Adam McQueen. I write the Street of Shame pages for Private Eye. And my two predictions for 2024... the first one is dependent on the sale of the Telegraph to the UAE fund not going through. But in that case, I'm going to stick with the very good tip-off that we got partway through the year that Rupert Murdoch has done a deal with the Rothermere's and will take at least one of their newspapers, potentially the Eye, off their hands in return for the Mail getting the Telegraph titles and Murdoch coming the Spectator. And that thus... cunningly, a bit as the Barclays try to do, evading all of the kind of regulatory processes necessary when it comes to monopolies and mergers and that kind of thing. My second one, so I've been asked for a wild card on this one, and this is something I've been banging on about right since the start of the pandemic, making this prediction, and eventually it's going to become correct. But I would say one national newspaper going online only. I think we're reaching that tipping point now where people are going to realise that actually putting things into print and distributing them around the country in the early hours of the morning is no longer a feasible business proposition. So that's my prediction. How many years after are we now after the Independent went down the same route? It was 2016, wasn't it? But I would say, yeah, another one going that way at least.
Faraz Osman, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Welcome back.
2024. Let's do this.
It's party year. Welcome back to the show. You were in this seat... this time last year.
Yeah. Go on.
What
nonsense did I say about
that? Well, I have your predictions from 2023. Number one, Traitors will kick off a whole new wave of premium entertainment and factual.
Right, that's right, isn't it?
I think that's pretty good.
Right.
There's been a lot of stuff out there this year.
So you know what? Genuinely, since I've started doing this podcast, which has been a number of years now, I'm showing my age, I've always been really curious about entertainment and you know, the X Factor is now, is it gone? I don't even know if it still exists anymore. I think it's gone.
It's gone, yeah.
And there's always been a bit of a worry about the declining numbers. Strictly has been on for God knows how long. And you kind of, there was a time when it was like Strictly X Factor, and that was it on entertainment, and that's all it was. And then the Masked Singer came along and we're a bit like, oh, maybe there's like something that's moving. Then Traitors comes along and just blows everything out of the water. And I genuinely do think that we are now seeing a new moment in entertainment.
Can I push back and just go, is Traitors an outlier though? Like Survivor, no. Bit Duff?
Well, so this is what's interesting. So Survivor clearly hasn't worked, and Rise and Fall, I don't think, worked, right? So there are two
shows. It was nearly there.
We could get into that. But there are two shows that I would argue are quite classic entertainment shows and felt, and the reason they didn't work is because they felt quite dated. Mm. Whereas if you look at the things that have worked, i.e. Squid Game Challenge, new IP, Traitors, new IP, you know, Love is Blind has done really well.
And we've got the bus thing.
Destination X is coming. And I do think I'm more interested in seeing how well Destination X is going to do compared to, say, Gladiators. And so there is definitely feels like there is a new sense of gameplay. And I include the piano in this as well. Mm, yes. So Rise and Fall, I think, was the big play, the big swing for Channel 4 to get a big entertainment hit. They didn't get it there. They got it with the piano. And I think there's this kind of whole thing around, like, real people doing things that isn't, like, lots of sexy people in bikinis kind of, like...
A bit of actual skill, a bit of something.
Yeah,
something.
Just a bit of humanness, and it's not just about talent. It's not just about a singing competition. It's actually, there's a bit of luck that's in there as well. And that's why I think Traitors and Squid Game, because you cannot predict how it's going to end up.
Well, the second prediction you had was, if the BBC nails its coronation coverage, then I think they'll be safe, at least for this government.
You tell me. Is that a point?
I think they're in as much trouble as they've always been. And there was no halo from the excellent job they did of the Coronation, Eurovision, the death, everything.
And Traitors. And Strictly and et cetera. Like, it's a bit bonkers. I think this whole licence fee settlement is completely bonkers. I cannot believe they got away with it.
Well, the government's got away with it.
Yeah, this is a bit like, we're just going to not give you what we said we're going to give you. Like, see you later. And it's clearly a clipping of the wings before a new government comes in. But it was, you know, they found the loophole and they managed to kind of cut the fee as a result. And I think it sucks.
And your final prediction was, big change to senior management at Channel 4 following successful fending off of privatisation. So you definitely got that bit right.
Yeah. Yeah. The changes haven't come.
Are they going to come?
I think that something's got to happen. Like, you know, there's obviously a and whether or not they are kind of personnel changes, you know, there's obviously a lot of talk about moving Channel 4 from being a TV channel to doing more digital stuff, and they're kind of leaving.
God, they were talking about that for about 20 years.
Yeah, they have been chatting about it a while, but it seems to be working and the money is going in that direction. You know, Channel 4.0 Channel 4.0 is interesting because it's doing good numbers. Whether or not it is recouping the investment in the advertising clicks is yet to be seen. They have been unshackled, and that means they can start making their own things. Whether or not they're going to start doing that is yet to be seen. They've got more options to be a different channel to what it was before. I feel quite strongly about this, so I'm going to say it here, and I'll say it to anybody that listens. Somebody please tell me what the Channel 4 remit is for. And I think that Channel 4 have a responsibility to be quite vocal and clear about what their remit is, both today and in the future.
It's been a bit like that for a little while. Channel 4.0, that's their new digital strategy.
Yeah, so that's kind of their entertainment channel. They've got Channel 4 documentaries. It's doing their more factual stuff. Mm. And they're kind of doing lots of plays in the YouTube world, as well as kind of pushing what was called 4OD, what was called All 4, is now called Channel 4.
Have they just opened up the old 4IP folder from the shelf?
No, 4IP was slightly different because that's doing stuff that's very, very different. This is still content play.
Okay,
whereas right. 4IP wasn't a content play. That was them doing kind of digital experiments that
didn't work.
And actually, sorry, on the 4IP thing, that is more 4IP, RIP, 4IP. That was more about making investments into other businesses. That, I think, is closer to the growth fund that they have now. So Channel 4 have this stable of investments they made in indies, which means that they have their own kind of like minority stake investment into lots of companies, some of which are very, very good and have had very successful years. There's question marks about how that's going to be related to them making their own content, and
yes.
You know, are they going to is that growth fund going to merge into a BBC Studios type thing?
Well, on People, you would have thought that there would be some new people coming in to maybe take control of some of these new ideas.
Yes,
we will see. Predictions for this year.
So one of my things that I am quite curious about is bundling. So I think that everyone's got a bit of subscription fatigue now, and that is being borne through the fact that, you know, revenues are down and redundancies are being made. Spotify had a big round of redundancies, and we're seeing it across lots of different businesses. I think it's now got a little bit too unwieldy, where consumers are expecting to have subscriptions in lots of different places, and it's you know, it's people have started to tighten their belts, etc. The way around that, I think, is bundling. And I think that we're going to see, and this is also married to the fact that people are spending less on tech, as in hardware.
Yes.
So I think Apple are going to push quite heavily into their Apple One service. Mm-hmm. You're going to see ads for everywhere.
So Apple One merges together Apple Music and Apple TV and health and all that stuff.
Yeah, so that's games. Their bundle. Mm-hmm. It's Apple Fitness, it's Apple TV Plus, it's Apple Music, iCloud, weirdly, and it's their services play, which I believe has been very successful for them, and I think they'll double down on it. So they've made some investments in sport with MLS in America. I'm not sure how successful that's been, but I think there's rumors swirling around about there being a merger of, I think it's Paramount.
Well, Paramount Plus is the company.
Yeah, well, Paramount Plus and then, Apple TV Plus kind of bundling together. That becomes incredibly seductive if that happens, of a content bundle. I think that it's not out of the realms of possibility that Netflix could buy Spotify, and then that becomes a rival in the other direction of a content bundle in that way. And obviously, Disney are looking at what they have as their model. They're looking to offload ESPN ABC, and Hulu comes into that package. And I think that they will want to do something that feels bigger than just a streaming service.
All good concepts. Give me a physical bundle. What is going to be your predicted bundle?
Okay, let's do a physical bundle. I think that screw it, let's do it. I'm going to say that Netflix are going to... I'm going to hedge my bet slightly. Someone's going to acquire Spotify.
Yes. I think with them cutting their costs when they just made a profit, a lot of people have been saying that's fattening up for a sale. And on the telly side, which streamer goes or who gets combined with what?
So which streamer goes? I think Paramount is the one that is got some interesting bits around it, because Paramount own MTV and Comedy Central, and they've got lots of great assets.
Star Trek and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that Paramount is probably going to be the one that gets gobbled up by a bigger player. I think that there are too many on the periphery. And if I'm going to say one that's going to go, I think Lionsgate probably entered into this fray a bit too late. If I was to say one of them was going to go the Quibi direction, it's probably going to be that. I'd love to meet somebody that's subscribed to Lionsgate Plus. Still, haven't met them yet.
Still to be found. Any other predictions?
Look, I mean, we've been saying it for a while, but Twitter/X/whatever it is, there's obviously something that's going to happen during the American election. Whether or not it can survive beyond that is open for debate. I just think advertisers hate it. I think people who don't want to use it anymore, and it is basically, people don't like opening the app anymore. And I think that's people aren't putting up content in that space anymore. I do think it's really curious that journalists still use it. They've got my understanding is that a lot of journalists are using Blue Sky which has kind of created a bit of an echo chamber for themselves. But when it comes to kind of following journalists and following stories, if you're a news fiend, like Threads isn't giving you what you need right now.
I still think that's short term. I'm all in on Threads.
But the problem with Threads is, so Threads need to sort themselves out when it comes to hashtagging.
Just before Christmas, they introduced topics.
Yes. So what this comes down to is whether or not they can do this. There's three events. Elections, right? Whether or not the people are going to use Threads to follow the election, they don't really want to get in that game.
Everyone wants to stay clear of news.
Right. So then the next thing is sports events, so be it the Super Bowl or
the Euros,
right? So if they manage to kind of get a way to build a conversation around one, a big sporting event, then Threads will start taking off. I think a lot of people have signed up to it. I don't know if a lot of people are using it. I don't post on it. Like, and I, you know, was a heavy poster on Twitter. Mm. It's just not fun anymore.
It's not. I think you'll get there, but that's my prediction. What's your social media prediction?
Twitter's going to go to the wall, and either it's going to be offloaded by Elon Musk, and he's going to go, this is just silly, I can't do this anymore. Or it's just going to kind of, I actually do think it's going to start crumbling and disappearing. And it's certainly not going to be something that we talk about as much as we have done in the past. So yes, goodbye.
That's
Twitter.
A great line. We will check whether that's still the case this time next year. Right. Thanks, Faraz. We'll be back with more predictions after this.
Hello, I'm Matt Kelly. And I'm Matt Dancona.
And we're both from The New European, the UK's fastest growing newspaper. What do we predict for the year ahead in media, Matt?
Well, it's going to be a very interesting year. I mean, I think the big story will be the future of the Telegraph deal, being sold to essentially a hedge fund that's owned by Gulf people. And I know that it's a massively unpopular idea at the Telegraphs, not to mention the Spectator, which I used to edit. So I think that it's the government is taking a more than active interest in that, and I think that it might well not go through.
It's
So that's a sort of straightforward prediction.
Yeah, I think also I agree with that, and I think there might be at some point next year a row around the funding of local newspapers, which are
there should be
in a very sorry state. And I noticed that a lot of them complained about the BBC's influence in local news and how that's having a detrimental effect on their business. We know that Reach, the formerly known as Trinity Mirror, are laying off 450 people, so their business is in trouble. Local news is incredibly important to all of us, and yet it's dying on its backside. So that really needs some attention from government, possibly, I think, from the DCMS. And a wild card prediction?
Well, it's not a wild card, but it's, you know, our friend Mark Thompson, who's always been very good to the New European, at CNN. And I think CNN does very well when big events come. And what bigger event than a presidential contest for the soul of America? And I just have a hunch, and I could be wrong, but I just have a hunch that under Mark's leadership, CNN might enjoy a long postponed resurgence.
Interesting.
You know, if not him, then no one. I think.
Well, he's an investor in the New European, so he knows good stuff when he sees it.
Yeah. He does, and he's a brilliant newsman, apart from the else.
I wonder whether there'll be any kind of aggregation between the two kind of challenger brands in TV, between GB News and Talk TV. That'll be an interesting space to watch.
Yes, I mean the sort of B Sky B model.
Yes, maybe
they might come together.
They might well, and we certainly predict you will have a stimulating and constructive time when you join us for the Two Matts podcast with Matt Kelly, myself, and Matt Dancona every Friday throughout 2024. We'll see you there. Just follow the show when you click the link in the show notes.
Happy Friday.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Now, I'm joined by Megan Carver and Jamie East to look at their hopes and dreams for the year ahead in our media predictions. Megan, what have you got for me?
My media predictions is going to be the continued and, I think, exponential rise of audiobooks.
Okay.
I think the rise of the increase of listeners of podcasts has absolutely helped this. It's normalised audio listening. Spotify have put audiobooks now on their channels for free for premium subscribers. The way authors are getting paid has all been agreed in advance, so hopefully there shouldn't be any kind of big hoo-has. The thing that I find really interesting is that Rob Rinder, for example, he's one of my clients. His book, The Trial, is great. It went to number two on week one. The following week, it went to number one, which is actually pretty unusual. Mm. It sold brilliantly, yet the audiobook has outsold all the physical copies.
Wow.
Yeah. And people are going to audiobooks more and more and more and more and more. And I also think the rise of AI is going to make that super interesting, because no longer will an author have to go and sit in a studio and do it a la Jamie East and do it for four days. Britney's isn't voiced by Britney, but it could be if it was AI.
Interesting. Jamie, audiobook fan?
I am. I'm not an audiobook Spotify fan. I think it's a dreadful UI experience.
First version though?
It's not actually a dreadful UI experience, it's just dreadful customer experience. Mm. You've got 15 hours a month to listen to it. Now, I try to listen to the Elon Musk.
the Walter Isaacson one.
Yeah, the Walter Isaacson, brilliant. Actually, really good, really interesting, super interesting. Got 65% of the way through it, ran out of hours. See you in 29 days. It's like, no, you will not. I will not be picking up that book again.
There's not a little in-app purchase or out-of-app purchase.
Of course, so you can buy extra tokens, but it's kind of like, is this a premium subscription or is it just, you know?
You need to read some shorter books.
I do, don't I?
What are your predictions?
Just too intellectual.
What are your predictions for this year?
My predictions are that every comedian will have finally been on every single podcast and we will all have to go back to the drawing board.
Thankfully.
End
of celebrity podcasts more generally, do you think?
I think I'm being flippant, but I think there's a serious point there, which is that ultimately the thing that made podcasts such an incredible medium and platform is the intimacy and the stories that we got from that. And I think that has got slightly lost in the quagmire over the past 18 months. I think that will disappear because the money's gone. Mm. Or the money is slightly harder to get. You have to work a bit harder for it. And I think a lot of the quick land grabs will kind of disappear.
Celebrities need a great format, don't they, Megan, for their podcast nowadays?
Yeah, you can't just sit down and say, I'm just going to have a chat with my friends. Mm. You know, people are a bit more savvy to that. And as they've grown and grown and grown, people go on podcasts as part of their PR. Mm. So you actually hear the same people on the same podcast going over and over again. I actually think that there is still a space for all genres, all types, because I think just like there is for TV, just like there is for radio, for magazines, people will want the celebrity. They want the true crime. They want the news. They want the current affairs. But I think things need to be smarter. I think this is why the James Corden one's going to be really super interesting, because I think he is going to take it to another level. And so any celebrity that says, I'm just going to do a sit down and chat with my mates is going to end up looking.
Megan, have you got another prediction?
Well, only that, you know, I think with the documentaries last year of the Beckhams, the Rooneys, Robbie, I mean, I love them. I don't think we should be calling them documentaries. I think we should be calling I think we should be calling them stories or my stories. Essentially, the subjects own production companies. They control the narrative. They pick who, you know, is the narrator, and you think the viewer thinks they're the filmmaker. They are basically just our version of OK at Home shoots from back in the day, aren't they?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But my prediction is that everyone will go just like they did with OK at Home shoots. Oh, these are popular. And we are just going to get more and more and more and more and more. And for the next 3 years, we'll have more and more and more until they have got to the point that we're all saturated.
So diminishing returns.
Diminishing returns. And it'll be a Z-lister wandering around with their best mate, asking them questions while they shop in Morrison's. But, you know.
Jamie?
Not enough people have remembered that Celebrity Traitors is on the way. And I think that is going to be the one that's going to be like fantastic from it. From Event TV in 2024, Celebrity Traitors is going to be one that I can't wait for.
Who would be a good Celebrity Traitor contestant?
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's a Boris or Nigel Farage,
isn't
it? I
think Martin Lewis would be really good because he's so trusted.
Who's that, sorry?
Martin Lewis.
Is he a client?
No. No, but I think you need to have someone that is so trusted by everybody, and he is so trusted.
He would be really good.
That you would then, that it would throw you every second because you go, but is he, but is he not? I don't know. And the thought of not trusting the expert.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. Martin Lewis would be good.
I think you've got to play with people's minds.
Yeah.
Maybe Claudia should be like host and traitor. Maybe that'd be the ultimate.
That would be a good twist. I just think the Scrabble, you know, I pity the bookers. the Scrabble that must be underway at the moment to try and get their clients onto...
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
To you both. Mm. So, Celebrity Traitors, you're right. I think people will desperately want to do it. What do you think the calibre of Celebrity Big Brother is going to be?
Big Brother is obviously very dear to my heart, I think.
Quick view on the last series?
A good start, I think. A good reset. I think AJ and Will have done really well. So
decentish ratings.
Yeah, I think they've reached the audience they wanted to reach, and now it's up to them to kind of like, they can start pushing the boundaries a little bit with that thing.
Traitors, celebrity version. You think good caliber.
Yeah.
What caliber do you think of celebs for Big Brother?
Have they rejuvenated it enough for some good people?
I don't know. I'm not sure bookers are brave enough yet to dive into what people want from a Celeb Big Brother. Mm. Celeb Big Brother needs to be your Michael Madsens, your Coolios, you know, and less, you know, influencers do not make particularly great TV a lot of the time. So less of that, more old school and more more grumpy Pete.
Well, nothing. I don't think anything ever beat the first Celebrity Big Brother for comic relief.
Oh, it was incredible, wasn't it?
Because they sort of didn't know what they were for.
They put it back on, didn't they, for the last comic relief?
Yes.
And played it again, and it was remarkable how twee and how short it was. You know,
it's a week.
They were going, you know, Vanessa. You know, Jack D climbed a fence after day three. You know, Vanessa was scribbling on the table after, you know. And now that feels like just, you know, people do Airbnbs quite willingly for more time than that now. I think they've done a great job of getting pure and back to the roots of what made civilian Big Brother great. They need to do the same with Celebrity, and celebrities need to be not afraid just to kind of like let the mask slip a little bit.
The campaign starts here for good celebs for both the traitors and Celebrity Big Brother. Thank you both.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks.
Hi, everybody. This is Stephen D. Wright with his predictions for the media industry next year. Sadly, it's a line from Dad's Army. I'm going to repeat where Private Fraser used to say, "We're all doomed, Captain Mannering," because that's all I can see. Unless the channels and the commissioners start bloody commissioning again and stop ignoring the plight of the freelancers who can't get work when there's no commissions, we're all doomed. So death, destruction and doom. Good luck. See you next year if we survive.
So who's next with our media predictions for the year? Why, it's writer Scott Bryan and Press Gazette Charlotte Tobit.
Woo!
Yay. Hey, Matt.
Did you have a good Christmas?
So relaxing, thank you.
Good. We're definitely recording this in January.
Of course, it's a quiet time of year for TV. I'm definitely not stressed.
Charlotte, let's start with you. As you generously gave us three predictions for last year, let's see how you fared. You said, "I don't think lots of national newspapers or major magazines will suddenly close in print this year, but I do expect some mags to close in print."
Yep, I totally stand by that. Nothing massive has closed this year. Some magazines have closed or are closing the next couple of months, but kind of smaller ones.
So can I challenge you slightly?
Yes.
National Geographic? Medium-sized? Small, large?
Fine. Okay.
Other than that?
Yeah, I mean, I said plural. You've only come at me with one.
That's fair enough. Okay. All right.
I will give you, though, the one twist is that some print magazines also launched, which I didn't say. You know, like Future still launching some stuff, NME's relaunch, although kind of limited run, but so it just shows you it's kind of
but it swings still around about.
Yeah.
Right, number two, you said a lot more publishers will be experimenting with AI this year, especially as it could free up resources at a time when costs are biting.
Yep, very much. I mean, I've basically spent the entire year reporting on what news publishers are trying out with AI, and a lot of it is about freeing up resources so that, like NewsQuest, for example, in regional news, they gave us an example recently about AI writing up like press releases or council minutes, and then reporters actually going out of the office to write stuff.
So tool rather than replacement of journalists.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of caution, I'd say. I think there were some big stories earlier in the year that we talked about on here about US online news publishers trying out it writing, and that didn't go as well. But yes, I totally, again, stand by that.
Good, yes. Okay, tick. And number three, 2022 was the year news publishers got stuck into experimenting on TikTok from basically a standing start. But now, I think this is in 2023, they will get a bit braver with the format. Did news get brave with TikTok?
Yes, I think that's also true. I spoke to like the Mail Online's head of social video not long ago, and he talked about how they've been doing more of the TikTok, you know, like native formats
and trends.
You know, like Vox popping on the street, going up to people in the street, things like that. And I think lots of the publishers have been doing that rather than just kind of their old style broadcast. And so I think that's been working.
It is interesting. I was looking at some of the Mail Online stuff this week, and a lot of hosted things with people that you wouldn't necessarily expect, so much younger focus, which is kind of obviously the right thing to do. Okay, I'll give you 3 out of 3 for that. That's pretty good. We're going to have some more predictions from you in a sec. Scott, nothing to challenge you with at the moment, so these will be good. We'll get you next year. Prediction number one, what have you got?
So my prediction is that there will be some changes happening at the top of TV. So if you look at the bosses of TV for the last few years, it's been pretty much static. You've had Charlotte Moore, BBC, You've had
Ian Katz, Channel 4.
Ian Katz, Channel 4. Zai Bennett on Sky, Piers on ITV. I think that naturally I've got no inside info. Mm. This is just a sense that because it has been remaining the same for quite a while, because the ad market has been going through the motions, and just because of it's an exhausting job, that I think that there will be some creative renewal at some of these places.
How many?
Two telly people will move aside, or, you know, yeah.
Good. Like it. Like specific things. Good. Charlotte, what's your prediction for this year?
A bit more depressing than my last year's predictions, which is kind of following on from what's been happening the last few months. I think there's going to be more job cuts and probably more closures at kind of big scale websites. Like Jezebel recently, I think.
Okay, give us a number. How many? How many big-ish sites am I going to go?
Site closures. Is this like, this isn't just UK, is it? Or is it?
I think, UK focused. Pick a number.
Two. Scott said two, I'll say two as well.
Okay, all right. And Scott, any sort of wilder predictions?
Screw it. A big streaming service will either fold or would merge with another. I mean, we are in a period of consolidation with streamers anyway, but it'll be interesting to see whether one just goes, sod this, and will just decide to give in, essentially. I found it interesting that, like, with Netflix, they've been starting to show more third-party stuff again, and I sort of feel that's a bit of, not just Netflix, also kind of stepping back, realising that their original content cannot sustain it, but also I think their rivals going, actually, if you build it, they probably might not come.
Well, I'll call that the Paramount Plus prediction. Charlotte, anything slightly wider for you?
I think that publishers will somehow kind of come together to launch some sort of
thing
or fight back against either the AI companies or Google, because there is quite a lot of frustration at the moment.
Ah, an alliance will pop up.
Yeah, let's say. That can be my wild one.
Okay, that's good. That's good. We'll see if there's an alliance in print. Happy New Year. Thank you both.
Thanks, Matt.
Past the party poppers, I don't know.
Now joining me is media writer Tara Conlon. First things first, we should look at your 2023 predictions
to see how well you did.
Number one, the big streamers will see 2023 is the year where they start to consolidate. There'll be fewer outlets out there.
Well, we're nearly there, aren't we?
It seems to be
We're getting there.
HBO Max, CNN, something happening there.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. There are, I totted them all up actually the other day. For the top seven streamers, it's now, if you want everything that you can get in the UK, Now TV, you know, Apple, blah, 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 costs £130 a month.
Wow.
That's for the sport as well, TNT Sport. So that's, you know, top dollar. Even if you don't, it's around 117, something like that. So it's about £1,500 a year.
It's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money on top of if you're buying Sky. I mean, if you've got an ITV, you don't need all of Sky, but you know what I mean? If you've got Sky Glass or whatever. So I think we're reaching that crunch point where the consumer is saying, it's tight. I mean, you know, even me, you know, knowing a bit about the industry, I discovered I had a BritBox subscription the other day. We've got so many subscriptions these days, we just can't keep up. And I think there will come, it is biting. There are people leaving the big streamers, they're moving to either set up their own companies or they're moving to networks. So it does seem to be happening that there is a shift, that they're not spending as much. It will come, I'm sure, but maybe I was just a bit early on it.
Just ahead of the game. And then the second one, the amalgamation of BBC World News and the Home News channel will result in Home News not getting much of a say, and it'll be a political hot potato.
Again, I think it has...
Hasn't been a smooth integration.
It has not been a smooth integration, and there is still fallout from it, and I think going to come, and I think the crunch point will come with the next general election, because it will become apparent then to a lot of people who would normally tune in to the news channel. And I have to, you know, just from my point of view, I don't tune in as much to it. I tend to look at Sky News. I mean, Sky News and GB News are delighted at what's happening. And when you've got, it's not the BBC's fault, but when you've got two big conflicts happening in the world, you've got big international stories, but when it comes to as big a story as the general election will be, they will have opt-out streams, they will have a way of managing that, but it's about staffing levels. And, they're quite tired already.
Well, it's very clever that they can do multiple versions that kind of pop up on the website or different things. Yeah. But that's resource, isn't it? And you've got to keep now multiple shows on the road.
Absolutely. And that requires, you know, as you say, resources. It requires people, it requires money. It's been an expensive year for BBC News because of what's been going on geopolitically. And how that will bear out on screen will be really interesting, I think, for them. They can cover it online, obviously, and that's what, you know, what they will say, and digitally you can. But those politicians who will be all over the BBC, poor BBC, about impartiality, when you have, you don't have that big a shop window as you used to have on screen, where a lot of politicians they love being on the telly. So they will come under even more scrutiny. Well,
almost both those are like rollover predictions for this year.
Yeah, just roll them over.
But what are your new fresh ones?
Well, actually, I should think of something a bit more kind of like fun, really. But unfortunately, it's doom and gloom with one of them, which is that I think it will be a tough time for independent production companies. It was starting to get tough last year in 2023. I think the roll-on effect of the cutbacks in budgets, in advertising, will impact even more of the smaller independent production companies. In the big ones, you've got, you know, All3Media, etc., what's happening with them. And it will trickle down. And I do feel for those smaller companies who, post-COVID, that sort of backup savings that they had to dip into during COVID, they're having really tough times. What's happening at Channel 4, the BBC, with budget cuts there, not as much being made. Some people call it a market correction, which sounds quite harsh because it's people's lives, and producers that I'm speaking to are having a really tough time.
I mean, it seems more than just the money from the streamers has sort of disappeared. It seems kind of deeper cuts than that, particularly, I think, what we're seeing from public broadcasters.
Yeah, exactly, which have been the bread and butter for a lot of the smaller companies. And they're trying to help where they can. But at the end of the day, it comes down to money and it comes down to airtime. And with fewer, if we're going to move over to a time where linear TV is replaced more by app-based TV and we don't have that daytime space, maybe people are, you know, instead binging shows from the streamers rather than watching This Morning.
I mean, you could easily see BBC Two just, it starts up at 7 o'clock, like 3 and 4.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I think if that's the end game, then you can see why they're cutting back on daytime shows. You know, it doesn't make as much sense to them and sticking to the prime time. But there are still people who want to watch daytime TV, and those audiences still need to be served by the public service broadcasters. And so there will still be a market there for a while. But those smaller companies the factual, the sort of like bread and butter factual
If you're used to knocking out like 200 episodes of Homes Under the Hammer, that's a big shift.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it will be even tougher for those production companies. The big ones will be okay because they have the back office, they have the reserves, they, you know, have all the economies of scale. But the smaller ones, I do fear for them.
Have you got a second one?
I have. And again, it feeds back into what I was talking about, subscriptions. And I just wonder if in 2024, this year, we're going to get sick of subscriptions. The reason why I say that, I was talking last year with Substack about them getting more into video and also talking to Sesame. And that's the people behind who founded Acast. And essentially, they were saying, with all these subscriptions out there, are people, consumers getting tired of them? And how will consumers basically cut back and what it will mean for content? And what Sesame are saying, they've got it in publishing and podcasting. Essentially, you pay for an article or you pay for a podcast. They're saying, well, why can't you do that with, you know, an episode of a show? It's kind of going back to the old way that Apple used to do. Yes. You could buy an episode.
Yes.
And their argument is an average payment is about €2, and 5% of people who go and buy an article go on to subscribe. So they're saying it wouldn't cannibalise existing subscription revenues too much, and it would bring people in who are tired of subscriptions. And when you think about it, like gym membership subscriptions, a lot of people get tired thinking, well, I'm paying for that, but I'm not using it enough. Mm. So with the decline in subscriptions, will we see more of a paying per episode? And also the reason why I mentioned Substack, because of their move into video, if producers, rather than going to the traditional kind of platforms, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself a bit here, but rather than going out on a Netflix or going out on an Amazon, because you could put it out on Substack, your video, and they said they want to do films, etc., and, you know, potentially long-form content like that. Is that a way forward for a production company with second, third rights that they yes. might put it out on their direct-to-consumer? I guess what I'm saying is,
Some different financial models that exactly. move away from subscription for
exactly.
telly
and, are we going to see pod? Some kind of move away from the streaming subscription model? Is that a way of increasing revenue or not? I don't know. Finer minds than mine are probably looking at it.
Well, two great thoughts. And as we've already heard, if it doesn't happen in 2024, maybe it'll happen in 2025.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much.
No worries.
That's it, and a happy new year to you. We'll be back with a new episode next week, and of course every week here on the Media Podcast. Make sure you hit that follow button to get us in your ears every week. We record the show at the London Podcast Studios, where you can get 25% off your first booking at this lovely place when you use the code MEDIAPOD. That's thelondonpodcaststudios.com, using the code MEDIAPOD for 25% off. Thanks for listening. My name is Matt Teagan. The producer was Matt Hill. It was a Rethink Audio production. I'll see you next week.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.